Will you please turn to Romans chapter 5? We'll read verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Good morning. What a great opportunity we have the last day of 2017 to worship God. And if you came to me this morning as I was thinking and reflecting a little bit about the lesson, that not only do we get to end the year with worship, we got to start the year with worship to God. On the first day of this year, I find it interesting that the first day of the year, in 2017, we got to worship God in the last day of the year. So it's just an interesting fact. I don't know. It was interesting to me. When we think of a new year, we think there's something special that happens at 12 o'clock at night. Tonight, there's something that happens. It gives us a fresh start, and we look at this and what is going on, a new beginning, and at 12 o'clock, what happens? A new year begins, and why does everybody get so excited and get so wrapped up in this? And it's because a new year brings hope. A new year brings us something special, something to look forward to, a fresh start. And we look at this and we think, well, this happens every night. At 12 o'clock, something else happens. A day comes. Another day comes. But something about a new year gives excitement. It's because of hope. It is because of a hope. A new year brings new hopes and aspirations for each of us. When we look at, as we look at hope this morning, we're going to look at, and define hope. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Hope is, it could be an aspiration, desire, wish, expectation, ambition, aim, goal, or plan. And it's grounds for believing that something good may happen. And that's what we think about when we think of it's a natural, hope is a natural expectation, and that natural expectation of something good that is going to happen in this next year. Paul had the same natural expectation of hope. In Acts 27 and verse 20, he said all hope would be lost. All hope is lost that they'd be saved. They were shipwrecked. And he said that they've neither seen the sun nor the stars, and the storm kept beating on them for days upon days. And he said, all hope is lost that they would be saved. The natural expectation of what was going to happen, and not so much hoping for, but was that they were going to die. They were going to pass away. That was the expectation of what was going to happen. And we look at this natural expectation of hope. We look at what the future is going to hold for us. And the hope is the upper limits of things that we gain. And we look at this and we see that, you know, we'll do much better if we have higher expectations. But we have this expectation of something great that is going to happen maybe in the next year. But hope is not just a natural expectation. Hope is also a spiritual assurance that we get. And we get this from two things: God's word and God's promises. God's word gives us a spiritual assurance and hope. In Romans 15 and verse 4, we see, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of Scriptures, might have hope. Paul said the Old Testament gave people hope. And we look at that, we have the full revelation of God, the old and the new. And it's for our learning, it's for our good, and it's for us that we, through the Scriptures, might have hope. And we have the full revelation of God, we should too also have this hope through the Scriptures. And in Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, wrote this, that their hearts, in Colossians 2 and verse 2, it says that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, through the Scriptures, and Paul was writing to them that they may be encouraged, that they may be knitted together in love, that they may reach this full assurance of their understanding, of the knowledge of God. And when you reach that full assurance, we reach it by knowing God's Word. And God's Word gives us that. It gives us that full assurance that when God says something, it will come true. And when we do what we were supposed to do, when we follow the Scriptures, that these promises are sure. And we can have that full assurance. In Hebrews 6, in verse 11 and 12, the Hebrew writer desired that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end of the age, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience inherit their promises. What he's saying is pretty much we can have full assurance. We can have full assurance of our salvation, that we don't have to doubt, that we know that the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that does not will be condemned. And we know that if we look at God's Word, we can have full assurance if we are obedient to it. And we know this because God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises in all things. He kept his promises with Noah. He told Noah to build an ark. He told Noah to do it a certain way, out of certain wood, and to do it a certain size. And if Noah did that, God's promises would be to save him from the wrath of God. He would be saved from the wrath of God. And we need to know that God keeps his promises. He always has and he always will keep his promises. So when we look at God's Word, we can gain this full assurance of God's Word that if we follow it, that God will keep his promises and we can know for sure that we would be saved. And as we look at the hope is spiritual assurance that we get. And we get this by God's Word and by knowing that God keeps his promises. We look at the description of hope in the Bible is defined in many different ways. In 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5, hope is described as a living hope. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercies has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We see living hope, and we compare that maybe to a dead hope. Really, the dead hope is not a proper terminology at all. It's either you have a living hope or you have no hope. We may look and we may put our hope in temporal things or perishable things, but our hope should be on something that is living, a living hope. And I want us to think about Peter. Peter, after Christ died, what did he do? After Christ died, he returned to his nets. And then reading the commentary on this, we see, I was looking at this, and Guy and Woods wrote this, and I found it very interesting, that Peter returned to his nets, but though his hope died with Christ on the cross, and were buried with him in Joseph's tomb, they surged to new life and to a living hope by the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. When we think of that, Peter was faithful to Jesus while he was living. We know that at that last moment he denied Christ. He denied him, and he may have seen him being persecuted. He may have seen him die on the cross, and we saw that that Jesus was put in the tomb. Peter may have thought at that time hope was gone. All hope was gone. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose from the dead. Peter writes it and says that this is now a living hope, that he's conquered the greatest fear that mankind has is death. Jesus has conquered that by being raised from the dead. That now we have this living hope through that resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he talks about how heaven, it's an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. Why? Because the resurrection of the dead. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter sees that this is now a living hope. Hope is also described in the Bible as a blessed hope. In Titus 2, verses 11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to dying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might be redeemed, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." When we look at this looking forward, looking for the blessed hope, it's looking forward, gives the idea of waiting with anticipation. And what are we waiting for? Anticipation, the blessed hope, a happy hope of what is to come. Hope is looking forward to something with confidence in the hope of fulfillment, a happy fulfillment of our hope. Looking forward to our God and Savior Jesus Christ coming to redeem us and to purify us. Hope is also described as a good hope in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 16 through 17. It says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." When we look at and given us everlasting consolation, it's actually the consolation. We look at the Greek and it kind of means everlasting encouragement. We can have everlasting encouragement and good hope by the grace of God. Meaning we can get whatever situation that we're in, whatever circumstance we get ourselves involved in, we have a good hope. We have hope. And we have a hope that we can then change our lives and become better Christians or faithful Christians at that point. We see that we have a good hope, a hope because of the grace of God. Hope is also described as a better hope. In Hebrews 7, 18 and 19, it talks about a better hope. And Hebrews is one comparing the old law to the new law and comparing the old sacrifices to the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, Jesus. And we have a better hope because of Jesus and his resurrection. And this hope also is described in the Bible as sure and steadfast hope. In Hebrews 6, verses 17 and 18, it says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. In Christ, we have hope. And this hope is an anchor to our soul. This hope is sure and steadfast. Hope is in the Bible is also one of the greatest virtues. Faith, hope, and love. We know that love is the greatest, but hope is one of these great virtues that we have. Hope of being with God and our Father in heaven forever. Hope has a destination as well. That hope, what do we hope in, or what are we hoping for? Each one of us has a hope within us, and we need to be able to defend it. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, it says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You see, we need to give an account for our hope. What are we hoping for? What are we desiring? What is our hope? Is it in Jesus Christ? Or is it in other things? The psalmist, David in Psalm 39, verse 6 and 7, says, surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? He said, my hope is in you. My hope is in you, God. What is our hope in? What is our hope in? Job, in Job chapter 31, verses 24 through 28, also realized and asked the question, what is our hope in? Job 31, 24 through 28, it says, if I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because of my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much, if I observe the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. You see, Job was pretty much saying, if I put my hope in gold or my hope in material things, in myself or others, we would have our iniquity would be upon us. We'd be deserving of judgment because we'd be denying God. Our hope should be on the true and the living God, because our hope is based on Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Now, when we think of this, we also need to think, is our hope in Christ only in this life? Is our hope in Christ only in this life? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19 also addresses this. He said, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. You see, because our hope in Jesus is not just in this life. It's in the life to come. Our hope is not that if we become a Christian and we are a faithful Christian, all that we will be blessed physically. And yes, we are blessed, but when we become a Christian, and doesn't mean that we're going to be the gospel of health and wealth, where we will be blessed abundantly over and over with riches and all these things. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that that may happen to us, but it's not what we should put our hope in. Our hope is in the life to come. The hope is in being with God and being with Jesus and in being in heaven forever, for eternity. And that is our hope. And that is what we should put our hope in. And Paul said that in Titus 1:1-3. It says, Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation, which with is entrusted according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Paul was writing and he was saying that put your faith in Jesus Christ. Be obedient to the truth. Have that knowledge of God's word. And put your hope in the eternal life. And God cannot lie. We looked at that. God keeps his promises. God cannot lie. And that is why when he says we'll have this eternal hope if we entrust because and keep the commandments of God, that we will have that home in heaven. We have this hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, it says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he ordained. He has given us assurance to this to all by the raising him from the dead. And we also, when we look at this, we have hope in the glory of God. As we look at our scripture reading this morning, it says, therefore we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have also have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we have also glory in tribulation, knowing tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. This hope, it will not disappoint us if we put our hope in Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verses 23 through 25 says we eagerly wait for our Savior. We eagerly wait for him. It says, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait with perseverance. We have hope in Jesus Christ, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in. Any day, we have hope. While we have breath in us, we have hope of being saved from our sins. I read this once, it stuck with me. Hope is like gasoline. Hope is like gasoline on a fire. It ignites you and sets you on fire. As a Christian, hope of eternal life should set us on fire to live faithfully each and every day, because we have hope for something greater, something better. And each one of us can have this hope, a living hope, a blessed hope, a good hope, a better hope, a sure and steadfast hope. If you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, you still have hope. You still have hope to change your life, to become a Christian. And our hope for you this morning is that you'll be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must believe. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is so much evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. We, as Scripture teaches, and John goes through and gives evidence after evidence that he is the Son of God. And we can also know through history that, that there was a man named Jesus, and he claimed to be the Son of God, and we know that he is. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must confess that and repent of your sins, turn from your sins, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning, you have not done that, please take the time and consider becoming a Christian this morning. Or maybe you're here and you have stumbled and fallen short, and you need to repent of a sin. Whatever your need is this morning, get your life right with God. And if you can do that, if we can help you in that way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.